Welcome back to the Electrify Podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you. All right, joining me, this gentleman, he's made some waves in the automotive world in more ways than one. Back in the day, I knew him as importing some amazing JDM body kits, companies. He was kind of this spearheading this unique, right? This perceived value of a product. Why is this body kit or this wheel more important than that one? Well, it's about exclusivity and creating kind of some noise and again, like I say, more ways than one. So this gentleman joining us here is Ben Schaefer. I don't know the exact title. Is it founder, president, creator, CFO, CMO? What's your title, Ben, at Unplug Performance?
We don't take titles that seriously, but yeah, in terms of my background, I'm the co-founder and I'm in charge of plenty. So I suppose title will be CEO.
All right, that's good. And I appreciate that. And I'm just going to start in out of the gate. Last time I saw you, Pikes Peak 2022, I had the honor of emceeing and announcing the Pikes Peak Hill Climb, the 100th running, which was really cool. And you champion and campaign. You work with many teams, but one in particular, piloted by Randy Popes, which we've had him here on the podcast talking about Yokohama, UP, all those things. Notably, the Wing Canards. The Wing Canards have Casa Bonita on them, which Casa Bonita is a reference to South Park, pop culture. I want you to get Casa Bonita. Why the heck do you have Casa Bonita on your Wing Canards at Pikes Peak Hill Climb, one of the most iconic races in all the world?
Oh, man. That's a great starting question. Yeah. You know,
but that's why I said we're having fun here. Like the electric, the EV vehicles make fart noises. Let's just be quite honest. So why not start out with Casa Bonita?
Exactly. You described it. It's right on brand, but in particular, Trey Parker is a customer of ours and we got connected with him. And Casa Bonita, as, some might know, is not just an episode of South Park. It is a real place and it's in Denver, and Pikes Peak in Denver. So Trey thought it would be cool to do something on the car with Casa Bonita, and they sponsored the car. That was right around the time that Trey and Matt bought Casa Bonita and threw millions of dollars into rehabbing it. So it's a personal project of Trey's. You know, he grew up around it, and you know, Trey's awesome. We love South Park and all their stuff they're doing. So why not?
Yeah, I think it's cool. And they bought it, they revamped it, because notably Casa Bonita, we'll get to EVs in a moment, but we got to talk about a terrible Mexican restaurant in Colorado that they've transformed into supposedly this great experience. My wife has been there. I admittedly have never been there, but they revamped it during COVID, brought it out. It's cool. There's cliff divers. It's crazy. It's like an adult rainforest cafe. Am I correct in saying?
It's like closer on the spectrum to Disneyland than it is Rainforest Cafe. It's like a crazy... I mean, it's nuts. We got a behind-the-scenes tour and then went back a couple times. It is very far from what you'd expect of a restaurant. It's way beyond anything I can even relate to.
That's funny. All right, now we'll cut into it. UP, Unplugged Performance. You guys are making a lot of noise. That's why I wear this hat. Shout out to my boys, Violent Gentlemen. Nobody likes us. We don't care. And I feel like you guys have this kind of pirate mentality to you guys. Like you're doing things that are pushing the norm. And like I said, your lineage and your DNA in the automotive experience. And we'll get into that in a little bit, but just got to go for those that are listening. Like, what the heck is UP doing? Most recently, taking the Cybertruck to Mint, taking it to King of the Hammers, breaking it, because I'm not going to disguise anything here. You guys are ruffling feathers, man.
Well, I mean, your hat sums us up. As you said, we're pretty much about that life. You know, we really, you know, believe what we believe, and we don't really care if that's popular or not. It just so happens that the things we believe in oftentimes become popular later on, and we're usually at the forefront of it when it's not popular, and we usually get a lot of support. But you know, anyone who's in this industry is in it for passion, number one. And when you have a passion for something, you know, part of the fun is fighting for something that you're into. And it's even more fun when you're the underdog. It actually gets less interesting when everyone starts to believe it. So we're kind of at a interesting phase where for the first 10 years of Unplugged, we were really the underdog and doing things no one thought was possible with EVs. And now it's almost, I still love it, but there's a little bit less excitement because people started to understand that EVs actually can be really fast on the racetrack. You know, part of our joy is showing things that people thought weren't possible. And now that everyone knows it, we're always hunting for what's the next thing to, you know, showcase our ideals.
What was the big aha moment for you and your co-founder to say, wow, we really have something here? Just hacking it? Because, you know, here you come from this very raw, rudimentary, okay, piston. I mean, suck, squish, bang, boom. Now you're messing with a whole different, you know, engineer and technician. You're dealing with electricity. It's this new kind of whole new world. What was the big aha moment for you guys?
Well, I mean, you know, some of our background on the Bulletproof automotive side. So I started Bulletproof 24 years ago when I was in college, was involved in the first Fast and the Furious movie and the early days of bringing Japanese cartooning to the US. And in many respects, in 2013, when we started Unplugged, the EV movement was in some ways similar to the, you know, so-called JDM movement in the early 2000s, late 90s. If anything, it was less developed. But there's something about bringing Japanese cartooning to the U.S. We started in 2000 and, you know, breaking down those barriers where at the time that was also considered, you know, not mainstream, not acceptable. People didn't like us and we didn't care, you know, as your hat says. And, you know, over time that evolved. But seeing how that went about and our role in it, I guess we were better informed in 2013 of what are the building blocks of culture? What are the building blocks of a movement to actually make something that we know to be cool, to invite others into it and to make it something bigger? And I think we learned a lot and kind of executed on that playbook. You know, in 2013, we had a pretty strong following with Bulletproof and we announced we were going to start an EV business with Unplugged. And everyone thought we were crazy and we got a lot of hate for it. But we set about doing all things that we knew and learned, which was creating track day culture by creating Tesla Corsa track day events, by bringing cars to SEMA. We were the first to bring Teslas to SEMA that were modified, by hosting meetups, by creating communities on, you know, Facebook and online, by doing all these things that make culture interesting. The only difference was for EVs in 2013, essentially none of that existed, very close to none of it. So we wanted to build the world that we love for JDM tuning with EVs. And, you know, piece by piece, we did that. And over time, people got on board with the program. We don't take full credit for it, but definitely it was really hard in 2013. And it's not hard now. People understand it. But the gap between 2013 and now takes all these actions. Pikes Peak, as you said, is one. Anything that changes perception is something that we really wanted to advocate for. And as for why we did it, it's really simple. You know, we drove a car in 2013, a Tesla Model S P85 Plus, and it was just so good that I couldn't add up in my head how any gasoline-powered car could ever do those things, no matter how much money you throw at it. There's certain things that the EV recipe has that gasoline-powered cars don't have, and vice versa. And there's arguments to be had on both sides. But as someone who loves technology, someone who loves cars, someone who loves the next exciting thing, it was immediately obvious. And it just so happened that we really got introduced to Tesla because we happened to be neighbors with them. So in our business park is where all the Teslas are designed at Design Studio. And we had a moment where a couple of the top people there knocked on our door because we were building these couple thousand horsepower Nissan GTRs. We gave them a tour of our shop and they asked us at the time a very simple question of what would you do to modify a Tesla? And that got the gears going. Wow. And here we are, just, you know, full speed at it 10 years later.
So it's kind of a timing happenstance thing, which is, you know, they always say, you know, location, location, location. That's normally real estate. But here you guys are living next to this, you know, this wire brained idea and Elon and spearheaded. And so that is so cool. I love that story. I didn't know that about you. That's why we do these podcasts. So now here you are 10 years later, you're firing things up. If you don't have yet, if you have not seen the website while you're listening to this, obviously not driving or maybe it's up to your discrepancy, unplugperformance.com. The lineup of products is extensive, exclusively to Tesla, because that's what I'm seeing on the website. Okay. So you're not going to mess. Do you have future things? Are you talking to the people or do you just have such an ingrained relationship with Tesla that you're not going to forego that?
We're staying with Tesla on this. You know, the difference between starting Bulletproof and starting Unplugged was starting Bulletproof, I could lean on amazing engineering talents and factories and bring over these great tuning shops from Japan, like Top Secret and Mines and Amuse and these brands that were well-established. In 2013, it would have been easier for us to just distribute products, but they didn't exist. So we had to create every category of tuning product by ourselves, because there wasn't anything to distribute unless you were, you know, doing car stereo installs or something. So we had to basically develop, you know, the first aero parts, the first suspension parts, the first brake parts, the first dedicated wheels, the first every category, because there wasn't anything. Over time, the aftermarket's evolved. Now there are lots of options, but our path was basically to try to learn everything we learned from the best Japanese car tuners and our friends in the industry to build a brand that represented our ideals. And our ideals are actually not stylistic so much. You know, people think of JDM car tuning in general as Fast and the Furious and a certain kind of aggressive style. I take more of a purist approach of really understanding the DNA of the vehicle and having the vehicle do more of whatever it's supposed to do. And that answer is very clear when it's a 1,000 horsepower car. It's also very clear when it's a Cybertruck, but those are two different answers. And right now we're focused on engineering for police vehicles, which is a totally different category. And we're also starting to work on military, which is a different category. So the real thing is knowing what your vision is and what your plan is. And I think I learned that really well from brands like Mines in Japan and from others that have this really, you know, it's cliche now what Mines calls their approach of balance too. But I think balance is important because the aftermarket is so good at going into extremes that you make trade-offs where you're really, you know, fast in a straight line, but really not fun to drive because you have turbo lag and, you know, you can't use it on the street and it's like horribly inefficient at everything. So for us, one of the advantages that we had was because we knew Tesla and they were next to us, and because we have such a respect for the cars they build, we look at everything through the lens of what would Tesla do. And it starts to feel a little bit like what would AMG do? And, you know, the early days for us, we had an advisor from the early days of AMG before Mercedes acquired AMG. And we gained a lot of insight from those early AMG days when they were independent, understanding what value they could add to Mercedes and how they could find a lane that, you know, served the customer that Mercedes wasn't serving and to create value. So I think our viewpoint is informed by what we think the vehicle would be that Tesla would love to make but can't make because of obvious constraints of supply chain and cost reduction and scale and things that make them, you know, so minimalized now where they don't even have paint on cars anymore in the case of the Cybertruck. We're trying to bring those options back as relevant as we can to each platform.
And the function is the fashion. That's something I really admire.
Absolutely.
About your JDM influence and bringing in those parts of the States. Those were the aspirational parts. And yeah, there's a place for some knockoff parts. Given respect is due. Don't duplicate it, right? Just refine it to make it your own, right? And they always say change it 10 or 15%. You know, what is it they say? A duplication or, you know, that's a form of flattery. No, that's ignorant. That's not a good way to look at it. You guys complimenting now Tesla's product, or back in the day, I'm just thinking of a Mark IV Supra. You guys, you know, top secret, working about the Wangan, you know, getting the build, that under tray. That's not just aesthetic. You don't just want cool carbon Kevlar because of the weave. It's about the functionality, the durability, all these things.
Yes.
So bringing that mindset of this JDM culture, you know, this cool, I'm just going to throw in like another like wabi sabi type thing, or what's when you break things and you fill it with gold.
Kintsugi, I believe it's called.
Kintsugi, yeah. Kintsugi. You break the Cybertruck because you're going to fill it with gold. I'm not literal, but you think about the efficiency of the Cybertruck. Most recently, just going to go right into.
We actually contemplated a wrap in that style for the Cybertruck. Yeah, it would be kind of cool. Yeah,
there it is. See, I touched on that. Well, there's a I get golf bags from a company called Vessel, and they just dropped a dope golf bag. It's black with gold embroidery, and they called it Kintsugi. So most recently, nice. That was top of my mind. But you have to, being an engineer, being kind of a, you know, there's the kids that I didn't. I was kind of a respectful kid, but the kids that are like, how'd you start? Did you take things apart? No, I wasn't. But I feel like, Ben, you took things apart to find out. Maybe it wasn't you, but now your co-founder, breaking the Cybertruck to find its weak points. Here's this all-wheel steering, right? I mean, I don't think it was completely intentional, but what happened? Elaborate there. You were out at King of the Hammers, which is this amazing race, Johnson Valley, just inland California. What happened out there? Let's tell us.
Yeah, just to close on the last topic, though, there's a really easy way for us to look at design. which is everything needs a purpose. If it doesn't have a purpose, then it's deeply uncool to us. So I'm really anti like fake ducks that look like they could be ducks, but don't actually have an opening on the back. I'm super anti fake carbon fiber stickers. Like everything either needs a good explanation of why it's there or it shouldn't be there. Maybe that makes it a minimalist viewpoint, but really we're a functionalist viewpoint where if we're going to produce something, there should be a reason for it and it should serve a purpose. Otherwise, you're just, you know, making a caricature vehicle that doesn't really stand for anything, is at least how we think of it. But every company has their own ideals. Those are ours. We want everything to have a meaning. Otherwise, it's an exercise of futility. In terms of King of Hammers, well, look, we go to Pikes Peak. We race. We do things that are pretty abusive on cars. Sometimes things break. At King of Hammers, we sheared a bolt on the truck. In hindsight, talking to the event organizers, apparently same thing happened to a Ford Raptor. It's not unique to the Cybertruck. But when you own a Cybertruck, the second that happens, next thing you know, everyone's trying to figure out how they can spin that in their own interest. So we ended up with normally would be a broken bolt. And, you know, a super annoying time for our team to have to deal with that because no one wants to have a broken bolt in the middle of the desert. But it went from being a minor thing to like internet speculation about the Cybertruck can't do this or can't do that. Like at the end of the day, it's a broken bolt. The truck was up on the road and running a couple of days later. It was not a big deal. But the fact that we were working on the truck and had a wheel off, you know, trying to get the truck moved around, next thing you know, people were saying the wheel fell off the truck. Like people go into all these crazy modes of trying to argue whatever points they want to argue when it's really simple. You go off road, things break. We broke a bolt. We fixed the bolt. Truck's good again. Life goes on.
Well, we know this, like in racing, just being around it, if it's drag racing, if it's off road or whatever, it's not traditionally the $500,000 part. It's the 25-cent part. It's the nickel part. That is the point of failure for that. And that's why, you know, just development of vehicles. And, you know, even I came from, you know, and I met you back in the day of like TMR, Toy Machine Racing and stuff like that. Seeing your evolution and what's going on in just obviously Super Street and now here, and now you're working hand in hand with Tesla. That's such a great compliment to your product, right? Speaking, I just got to stay in the Cybertruck because looking at your website, looking at the drop-down screen, S3XY Cybertruck. Love the name of the UP Cybertruck aftermarket, Invincible. Yeah. Yo, congratulations. That's a killer name. Like, love nice, it. And man, just look at the lineup of parts, something as simple as, you know, UP Invincible wheel spacers too. And I love this. This is a great compliment to the type of consumer that's going to own the Cybertruck. Invincible Starship Starlink mount, the wheels, the tires, the lift. I just stay on that because it's just such a hot topic. Seeing one, everybody's like, wow, it's like seeing a shooting star.
It is. It's, I mean, the Cybertruck is one of a kind. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the key thing, at least in our ideals of an aftermarket brand, is understanding the vehicle. And for us, as we deeply understood the Cybertruck, it was clear that to us, the DNA of the Cybertruck is invincible. That's why it's made the way it is. It's the closest thing to being invincible against whatever scenario you have, whatever threat you have, whatever goes on in your life. It's the strongest, most durable, safest place to be in any environment. That's what we think of as a truck. So when we are informed of how to modify it, we're not putting giant wings on it like we do for a race car. We're making it more invincible by whatever means we can. So all the products we're building fall in that mindset. And yeah, you know, the Cybertruck, I've been in the industry 24 years. I've seen a fair amount of things in that time. I've never seen a vehicle that's this transformative, that's this original. And that's super exciting. You know, one of the reasons I'm spending 99.9% of my time on the Unplugged side of the business and not on the Bulletproof side of the business is that I can't find the exciting next generation of thing for Japanese car tuning. Bulletproof is also involved in, you know, supercars and German cars as well. It's no longer just JDM purely, but whether it's Japanese cars or Lamborghinis or McLarens, like there's nothing groundbreaking that I see in those categories like I see with the Cybertruck, like I see with Tesla's engineering, like I see in the EV space. And I got into this world because I wanted to be a part of something new, something exciting. And I don't ever want to be a part of something that just celebrates the past. I always want to create the future.
And that's what's interesting about your, you know, previous business model, Bulletproof. It was adhering aftermarket parts to, you know, kind of a different era of vehicles at the time when you launched. You know, Mark IV Supra was not too old, but, you know, just there was a lot of noise, going to Tokyo Auto Salon, going to SEMA show, and that still exists. And now Electrify Expo has really opened the floodgates to the EV space. And I'm gonna steal my buddy's motto. Shout out to Gimme Golf Club in St. Louis, Missouri. Everyone only. So you guys have created this noise, and that's why, again, just going back to your guys' ethos, it feels like you just really want to disrupt the space. And it's not, you know, when Priuses came out, they look like door wedges. And now, I mean, the new Prius looks pretty badass. Just call it what it is.
Yeah, like, they came a long way.
Right? Holy cow. But it took them how friggin' long, right? And now they finally got it. But Tesla came out of the gate. The car's fart. You have some fun. You can play video games. You know, got the yoke wheel on the Model S Plaid. You're having fun. And I think that's what us as car guys, everybody talks about the noise, you know, it's not making noise, or it's not, you know, you can't shift or this. Sometimes you do want that, you know, given where you're at. But you guys cut into the fun of it and to the performance side of it now, which cuts into enthusiasts. People listening to this right now are like, what can I do to my Tesla to get that same emotion and that engagement with my vehicle? I touch the wheel. Sometimes you don't, if you have the obviously self-drive on the Tesla. You touch the pedals, you might touch the shifter. You have all this engagement. You guys are just disrupting and saying, hey, you can have fun. You can unplug from the norm. And that's what that's what you guys are doing. So what would you say is your flagship progression? You know, obviously racing the Pikes Peak in the Model S Plaid. Where have you spent the most time, or where do you get your most customer engagement from? Which model?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard because I feel like my whole career, every couple of years, we take on a new challenge and evolve. You know, this year, we're really focused on police cars, which is totally, you know, almost out of like the conversation.
What vehicles would that be? S's or what?
Model Ys mainly, and we're developing on a Cybertruck. So it's mostly Model Ys, some Model 3s, and in the future, I think a lot of Cybertrucks and Model Ys. Because it doesn't really go down to any particular ideology. Like, a lot of companies are defined because they're only a race company, or they're only an off-road company, or they're only a style company. We're more interested in problem solving, and I think when there's an opportunity to be solved and no one's solving it, we tend to gravitate towards doing that. You know, when I was 20 years old, the problem to solve was I found all this great stuff in Japan no one could get access to, and no one could translate the magazines or even get them. So, you know, I started by even importing HyperRev magazines and offering translation services, and then shipping containers of goods from there, and then bridging the cultural gap before there was the internet to make things easy. It's always problem solving. Like, you find a cool thing and you advocate for it. So for us, the latest journey is I'm pretty frustrated that police haven't picked up on EVs more. And like, about 2/3 or almost 3/4 of all the gas spent on a non-EV police car is just idling, which is just stupid. Like, there's so much taxpayer money going up in smoke and like screwing up our environment for reasons that no one can justify. But it's still early days for proving that EV is the best solution for police cars. So that's our challenge to prove right now. But, you know, a few years ago, it was Pikes Peak, and we ended up winning our division with the Plaid, and then broke the 10-minute mark with the Plaid. And these are all, you know, pretty challenging milestones to do with an EV, period. Never mind a family, you know, four-door mass-produced car that's been modified with aero and wheels and brakes, but still factory power, still heavy, still factory firmware. You know, there's a lot of limitations to go that fast, and we managed to do that. So we kind of just move step by step as to where we want to prove a point or move the needle. You know, the Plaid we have that ran Pikes Peak is faster around a track than a Porsche Cup car on the same slicks. So I think these are just like benchmark points. People tend to get really frustrated when we benchmark against non-light cars, but how else do you illustrate what a car can do if you don't have an example? So
yeah,
I think from our point of view, people can understand Porsche Motorsports is amazing. Like, we all are inspired by them. Their fastest car they produce is a Porsche Cup car, which is a dedicated race car. We've modified a family sedan to go as fast. That's cool.
Yeah.
And after that, it's like, okay, like, we've done that. We'll keep doing those things, but we're always chasing what's the next way to just advocate for something that we believe in.
Yeah. And I'm going through your Instagram, just looking at just all the cool, you know, I don't want to say disruptive by any means, but just a compliment to the already existing family vehicle that bears repeating, because you quickly forget, just seeing your vehicles, how insane they are. But you guys just, I mean, you have great, perfect fitment wheels like that. That's something that's just so kind of minute, but it's a big thing. And you got to think about efficiency. I mean, Tesla, when they designed the actual wheels, they designed them for efficiency, being an EV vehicle, rotational mass, yep, all these things. And now you're building aero. You know, you're talking about not just aesthetics, but the material, the aerodynamics, efficiency, adding to that. There's so many things that go into this. I mean, I'm looking at the Audubon front diffuser, easy to install, yeah, using Snap-on tools. So good for you. That's how I work with them. So hyped on that one. You know, a record in Japan, the first EV to break 1 minute, a Scuba. Yeah. The Tizon Model S ran a 59.5 second lap on street tires driven by Knob. Love Knob. Nobuhiro Taniguchi, yeah, just saw him last year at the RSRJ Festival. That's you guys going international, right? So
I'm still going to Japan every year for 24 years. We're just trying to do more Tesla stuff out there instead of just importing from Japan. Now we're on both sides of the equation, but I love Japan. That's where it all started for me. But yeah, and I think in terms of your question, like where the market is for us and what we're focused on, if we were only motorsports, we would just be a money furnace, because you can't make any money in motorsports. At least we haven't found a way to. So for us, we're trying to solve needs, and the needs are very different for different customers. Like one of the key things we're focused on, which is in many ways like super not sexy, but very practical, is we sell a lot of comfort-oriented suspensions for Model 3s and Model Ys, which make the cars just much more compliant and friendly every day. And we have a lot of people who come to us who have never modified a car in their lives, who just want their car to ride more smoothly. And we do a lot of that. That's something that I never thought I'd be doing. But you know, when you're engineering suspension for every different use case, it just comes down to changing the variables for how you engineer. Another example of that is, you know, you've seen the crazy aerodynamics on our Pikes Peak car, but we had the same aero team work on creating efficiency products that reduce drag and helping improve range at high speeds. So we developed some parts around that. Engineering is engineering. You know, where you focus your eyes just changes the outcome. So if you're focused on downforce versus focused on coefficient of drag, you can use the same team and the same materials and get completely different results for different use cases. That's what we're doing now for police too. We're taking the same approach for our wheels, like you mentioned, and making dedicated police wheels that solve a totally different need.
You talk about you didn't do it alone, working with Tesla and working with, you know, obviously your team and engineers, and rising tide lifts all ships. You know, you go to Electrify Expo, you're seeing these guys, this car club called Ruined. They're doing some fun stuff on airbags and all that stuff. I always like to say this because, you know, it takes a village. What are some other companies doing it right that you really admire? Some companies that you've worked with or somebody you'd like to kind of put out there? You know, here you guys is this cool unit of measure. Like I say, these records, these racing records, complementing the daily driver. Do you have any companies on the tip of your tongue that you'd maybe like to shout out or kind of elevate as far as peers or anybody? Or are you kind of like, nope, we're kind of in our own lane?
Yeah, it's hard to say because we don't draw a lot of inspiration from companies that do what we do. We just haven't found a lot of it. We do draw inspiration from certain brands. Like for example, one of our partners is Koenigsegg. They are a huge inspiration for us as far as their engineering, and Christian's been a fantastic partner on our side. I don't know them well, but I'm inspired by local companies like Singer and Gunther Works, what they're doing with the Porsches. We have a high-end program we call the S-Apex, which is a full carbon wide-body Model S that we've partnered with Franz von Holzhausen. His wife has a company that makes this really cool leather out of bamboo, which is like the most like luxurious eco-friendly leather. So we use their materials for the interior. And we have a car that is it's aspirationally going towards the level of a Singer or a Gunther for Tesla. We're not there, but we definitely draw inspiration from the details they have because that's our ethos. But in terms of inspiration, I think at the high end, it's, you know, brands like Koenigsegg, brands like Singer. I don't really have much inspiration in terms of like laterally. I would say our partners are inspiring. Like, you know, We utilize Olin's TTX suspension. I think they're great. We like their work on the TTX line. PFC is our brake partner. We like their work on the Porsche Motorsport stuff, and they do great work for us on our brakes. We have lots of partners that are inspiring. BBS Wheels is a partner. We like their work. So I think the partners that we bring in, we're definitely inspired by.
And there's no right answer. I was just, again, just the space is so unique and so it's got to feel still young to you, right? Like you're still,
it's early days for sure. And there's a lot
even
more
being
to
it,
think
even
about.
Being at this, even being at this long, you still feel like it's growing.
Yeah. You know, I feel like every year more other car brands start to make more compelling EVs. I think 5 years ago, maybe as an example, there wasn't a lot of compelling brands besides Tesla. I think now the field is getting very interesting. There's a lot of good brands. And that provides an opportunity for companies to take their approach as well for other vehicles. So definitely we're curious to see, you know, what the approach will be as everything from, you know, Hyundai to Porsche to Rivian are making, you know, super compelling EVs. We're always interested to see what others are going to do there in that space. I think the market's widening and eventually, you know, a very large percentage of the market's going to be EV. So it started off as, you know, perhaps a brand like ours is considered a specialist for EVs, but really we're a car tuning brand, period. EVs just happen to be taking over for fairly logical reasons that people would expect it to.
Where do all the space balls influence come from? I mean, from Plaid to, right? Like you guys, and you Ludicrous, went with it with dark helmets. Like, yeah. I mean, just ludicrous speed. Who's the big Spaceballs fan? It is Rick Moranis own one, and like, you know, like,
oh man, I would love to do some marketing with Moranis. That'd be epic to do something with him. He kind of he's retired, I guess, but
yeah,
dude, he's a legend.
If you look up his story, I understand his wife got cancer or something. He left the whole industry and took care of his wife and kids and stuff. But yeah, but do you know who's
support.
Is it Elon? That's,
I mean,
kind
Elon,
of
yeah. Yeah, Elon bakes in all these interesting kind of cultural touch points that Tesla owners kind of inside joke about, which is fun. You know, I think every car culture has those things, whatever the brand is. There's certain kind of, you know, inside lingo that people know. And for us, we play around with it. You know, for Dark Helmet, obviously, that was a reference there. It was too obvious. But, you know, these things are fun. Like, without that, even, well, it's not just that. Also, Spinal Tap, you know, the Tesla audio turns up to 11. There's all these kind of cultural things where it's cool. You know, Tesla is perhaps, I guess, the biggest company in terms of stock market valuation. But their brand is very, like, startup culture brand. They do a lot of things that are kind of silly, like, you know, being able to not just like fart inside the car, but like virtually fart on someone through a speaker remotely, which is just ridiculous. You're not going to see that from like a Honda or something. So, you know, I think it's cool that there's like this level of fun that's still in there. And I think Elon is uniquely accredited for that because he has this mentality where he doesn't play by anyone else's rule book and he does whatever the hell he wants. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, but he does whatever the hell he wants. And I think he has a deep belief that if you engineer a great product, you can get away with a lot of this stuff because the product's great. And he's constantly testing that limit, having a great product and pushing buttons. But the product kicks ass.
Speaking of Elon, have you met him and maybe multiple times or whatever, but was it as interesting and intriguing, or was it kind of does he like to play it up when he does those New York Times interviews and the, you know, GFY, that's the quote. I don't want to fully go on and say it, but have you met him and how was it maybe meeting him the first time or the 10th time?
Yeah, very, very little interaction between us. And really our focus is to understand the people who are in the trenches building the cars. I think Elon is a great visionary and he knows how to build an amazing leadership team and build amazing engineers. But the people that are like our, you know, greatest partners and greatest, I would say not so much partners, but people who inspire us the most are the guys on the design team and engineering team and the guys that are actually building the cars. Elon knows every detail of the car intimately, but he's focused on so many businesses that I think of him more as leader for direction and putting the right people in place. But the guys who are in place are the ones to us that really inspire us and make Tesla the vehicles that they are.
Yeah, it's the
With that being said, the Cybertruck would not exist without Elon, because no one else would greenlight that besides Elon. That is definitively an Elon outcome, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Who do you want listening to this podcast right now? Is it already existing customers, new customers? And it's kind of rhetorical. It's all of it. But if somebody's listening to this and they're trying to find out about Unplug Performance and how they complement their lifestyle, because that's what it is. They're complementing their lifestyle because it is a luxury item, you know, hopping up an already cool existing car, but maybe they want a little more. Like you said, it's not just about performance, it's about efficiency, and it's that solution, right? So finding that solution for their vehicle. If you want to look cool, or if you want to perform even better, more ways than one. So again, rhetorical kind of question, but also, what are the steps for them to engage with Unplug Performance if they have any of the range of vehicles from the 3 to the Cybertruck?
Yeah, I think, you know, the nature of our business is to solve different needs. So anyone who owns a Tesla, I think we're relevant to them in some form or another. So some people, it might just be having the car ride smoother with our luxury suspension. For others, it might be getting more efficiency or going with a forged wheel. You know, right now there's an opportunity because our wheels, our UP03 wheel in particular, is like the most indestructible wheel I've ever seen. So that wheel tends to be really good for daily driven cars, because some Teslas, they crack their wheels from the factory. And this wheel, like, I just put something out on Twitter for fun, just to challenge someone, where I said, if you could find a way to break a wheel, you get one for free, guaranteed. Like, I don't care what you do, you can jump it, you can go off-roading, like, try to break this thing.
Oh, man. Here we go.
So, you know, we have fun with that, but like that's an actual use case need. There's a need because people are buying replacement wheels because they're breaking. I think there's lots of ways to improve a car and personalize it. I come from a background where it doesn't matter if you have $1 million car or a $10,000 car. There's a reason to modify it if you're passionate about it. There's never a point where a car is finished, because every car is mass produced for like the average customer, not for you as an individual. So I think the aftermarket serves everyone. But the answer is not a one size fits all. It's really personal, but we try to have the right options for a lot of different use cases. And yeah, on our website is the best way to reach us, unplugperformance.com. We have a good amount of content there, and it keeps getting better.
I love it. I'm looking at all the wheel lineups. So you're saying the UP03, that's the wheel that you're claiming is just indestructible?
UP03, like, we put it through hell. Wow. We only managed to break it one time. I in my history in the business, I don't recall anyone who has ever asked for a replacement wheel ever, which is unlike any wheel I know of. We managed to break it by having Randy Popes launch our Model 3 at Pikes Peak into almost off the mountain, and the whole car was totaled. That was the only thing it took to be able to break that wheel. Otherwise, it's never happened. So that's a really strong wheel, and all of our wheels are strong.
Yeah.
In fact, the only non-forged wheels we have, ironically, are BBS wheels that we make. So kind of strange to say that the BBS collaboration is actually our low-end wheel. Most people would say BBS would be the high-end wheel, but the BBS wheels are flow formed, and everything else we have is forged. And we develop them super strong.
The Flugplatz luxury wheel and tire package, is that what I'm looking at, the Model Y?
That's right. Yeah, that's a little connection point to our facility at the Nürburgring. We have a partner at the ring, and we have a car out there that we use for development. So that's a section of the Nürburgring where vehicles tend to get airborne, which is the naming inspiration for that. And that wheel is produced in Germany for us, and is actually our only TÜV-approved wheel because it's made in Germany.
Got it. And the real quick, just to beat a dead horse with this the wheel thing, are you saying the UP03 carbon or just the standard forged?
The forged. Yeah, the forged. The carbon, it used to be that a carbon barrel wheel was a huge advantage in weight, but our forged wheel is just about the same weight as the carbon now. So people who are buying the carbon from us are buying it mostly because they want a carbon wheel, not because it does much more than the forged wheel does. We have them, I think, within about 1 pound, or almost identical weight now, and the strength of the forged is crazy. So the carbon is really just a scenario if you want carbon, which the carbon has a couple benefits, but it's a lot of money for the carbon.
And I'm seeing retail just shy of under $2,000, and that's per wheel, correct? I'm just clarifying here.
It's not our UP03 forged wheels started at under 900 a wheel, so less than $4,000 a set for the forged.
Oh, okay.
So it depends on the size. It could be like 3,500 to like 5 grand, give or take, depending on like 18 to 22 inch. And the carbon goes crazy. The carbon is like 20 grand, but that's just because the carbon barrels are expensive.
Yeah. Seeing the UPO5, that's a great looking wheel that kind
brand
of
new.
Complements that. Yeah, I love it. That design, if you told me, you're like, oh, it's kind of circle hex, I'd be like, bro, I'm out. I don't need some Renault bear wheels. You know, I'm good. But I'm just looking aesthetically at the UPO5s. That would look really good on a Model Y. I love the gold finish. Sorry, just going to aesthetics here. The Cyber Hex is sick. Don't know if I could run those, but.
Same designer on both. The 05 and the Cyber Hex is my good friend, Sasha Salpinov. Sasha, I met him during his time at Koenigsegg when he was the head designer there. But his background is legendary. That guy has designed the Lamborghini Huracan, the Bugatti Chiron, the Koenigsegg Jamera, CC850. So when you look at those wheels, maybe you see a little bit of his DNA.
Absolutely.
In it. They're very special.
Could totally see that. Luxury suspension for the kit, luxury suspension kit for the Model Y. It's you know, just sliding on some of the big hits right now. And again, you talked about the Koenigsegg, the manufacturing, the carbon spoiler. You're going racing. You're doing more racing. You're working with one of the legends, Randy Popes. That dude's driven everything under the sun.
He has driven everything.
What are some other unplugged performance activations that we can be on the lookout for? Obviously, Cybertruck, talking about going in the dirt, playing in the dirt, jumping cars, breaking wheels, or not breaking wheels. What's next on the UP horizon?
We kind of figure it out as we go. That's one of the fun things about being in this world is we just are always looking for the next challenge. So I definitely like doing more international stuff. So hopefully we can do some more things internationally. Off-road is really a destination that we're headed with the Cybertruck. So we're going to look for more experiences there, and we're developing a lot of products that'll make the truck even better. Oh man, it's hard to say what the future holds, but we just look for those moments where we can, you know, create a story that's inspiring, that gets people excited, that maybe shows the cars in a different way. It's not fun to do the same thing over and over. So whenever we do something, we want to try to put a new spin on it.
That's awesome. Well, you guys are definitely making a lot of noise. Goodwood Festival Speed. Could you do that? Have you done that yet?
I really want to go. I haven't been. I hear it's epic. I really, really
it's
like
my, it. It's like, yeah, I'm waiting for my call from either Lord March or the Duke of Richmond, which, you know, it's this ring system. And Charlie, Lord March, he's a good dude, young cat. And obviously Duke of Richmond, he's the kind of he spearheaded the whole thing. It's probably my favorite, like, not throwing shade. Love Mad Mike Summer Bash, love Formula Drift, love Nitro Cross. Great sweet spot in my heart. But Goodwood Festival Speed is just, the diversity there is really cool. And I will say that I've never been to Concours d'Elegance, but here's what I'll say is Concours, it's like, don't look, don't touch, you know, wear a sport coat, which is great. I think, again, you don't wear flip-flops and tank tops to a nice steakhouse, but you don't wear a tuxedo to a bomb taco spot. Goodwood Festival Speed, it's, you know, tacos to caviar, man, everything in between, and come as you are. And then they're like, dude's got this unobtainium car. Dude, sit in it. Enjoy it. That's what I really love about it. And then you got like a whole action sports side of it, technology side of it, and legends. You know, there's Richard Petty walking around to, you know, I mean, I've had photos with so many, you know, Fittipaldi to, you know, there's Mark Webber, Lewis Hamilton, Daniels over here, right? Like, speaking F1. Yeah, I could see you guys crush it. You, Randy, Dark Helmet, Good Festival Speed 2024. It's just been announced. UP's going to UK. I'm joking. I don't know. I'm kidding.
I would love to make that happen. Everyone I talked to has been there and said it's one of the best events. We have to find an angle to approach it, but I'd love to do that. Anything like that that's iconic and that's car culture is where we want to be. I think, you know, EVs thankfully now have a more permanent seat at the table for car culture, but we really just want to, you know, be in the places where things are happening and deliver something exceptional every time.
Yeah. And Romain Dumas, you know, I almost got hit by Romain. So did you watch that run of the IDR?
No, Goodwood? But Romain's a legend, man. At Pike's Peak, that guy's a beast.
Yeah. He's a beast. He just broke another record in the Ford van, absolute weapon, but literally I'm with Chris Forsberg, 3-time Formula Drift champion. We were there. He's doing demos. I was announcing drifting, and I was there doing multiple things. But we're there. So the hill climb, you go up. For those who don't know what Goodwood Festival Speed is, in Chichester, about an hour outside of London. Amazing event. Celebrates automotive culture from the inception to the future. And we're on the start line. We're like, oh, sick. Here comes, Romain Dumas. Oh, who was it? NASCAR driver that was with us too. And we're like, you hear it kind of load up. And it just loses it. And it's coming right for us. It's coming right for us. And literally we're like, oh, my wife and young, or my oldest son was with us at the time. And I was like, save yourself. Like, and fortunately it had enough grass between us and hay bales that it did correct and go back up the mountain. But yeah,
that's crazy. I mean, when he's running those cars at Pikes Peak, that's a scenario where zero error is allowed. Like you cannot ever make a mistake or your life's in danger. So I would trust him more than most drivers, but yeah, that's a little sketchy. Those hay bales are not going to help you too much.
Oh, I've seen some crazy incidents. Well, hopefully, Lord March or the Duke of Richmond are listening right now, and you got to get an invite. I'll put in a good word for you. Would love to see you and post.
Yes, please.
And anywhere, but up, right? Unplugged Performance. Ben, thank you so much. Congratulations on all your success on just this little, this forecaster. Thank you. You forecast these cool little trends. I don't want to belittle it by saying little, but making noise with little things. Again, bringing in a muse, Minds. These companies are part of the vernacular of JDM culture. And then now applying that, again, perceived value. What makes a good wine a great wine? Is it perceived value or is it the content of the story? And I think the story here with UP, again, back to the hat, nobody likes us, we don't care. I think you do care, but you care more about the driver experience and that engagement and creating a quality product as opposed to something that is disposable and less, less about just aesthetics. There's an intention about the product and the quality of product you guys are creating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we just go where the heart is, and, your hat reminds me just of how I look at it, which is I'm not looking for an acceptance of an idea. I'm willing to fight for that acceptance. We're going to go into something, not because it's popular, but because we believe it should be popular. And that's the fun. Is going into battle knowing you have a winning hand when everyone tells you, no, get out of here, and you stay in the fight until you win. Like that's what we've done our entire existence. And and in some respects, yeah, there is a disrespect to the idea that consensus matters. Consensus doesn't mean anything to us. What matters is ideals. What matters to us is philosophy and purity of concept. Like we're going to bring whatever we believe in, and we don't care what anyone thinks, because in the end, we're confident they're going to understand us. It'll take some time. It'll ruffle some feathers, but after a while, like these things should be fought for. We got a ton of crap the first time we brought an EV to SEMA. There wasn't a second that we thought, oh, they don't want us here. We're not going to go back. We wanted to go back extra hard every year after and to show that like this all deserves representation. I prefer being on that side than the side where we're with the masses. I'd rather be the underdog any day of the week.
Well, you've done a good job, man. Congratulations to you. And, watch this interview, check out the hat. But I mean, here's babyface Ben Schaefer. This gentleman, I mean, I think he started the company when he was two, bulletproof, and now involved into this, but just hasn't aged a bit. So I'm jealous of that. But thank you so much for your time, man. Congratulations to you. Last question. Do you have a fleet of vehicles that a chubby tattooed hairy guy can come experience or any other customers come experience? Because I think that's obviously, once you get somebody in the butt dyno, AKA behind the wheel, they're going to enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, Tesla has a saying, butts and seats. It's the most true form of marketing there is. You can talk about things all day long, but when you drive it, you understand it in the first minute.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do more of that. We definitely do have some vehicles here. I can't create an open invite for everyone listening because that would get a little crazy from a liability standpoint. Someone at some point is going to do something bad to one of these cars. But definitely for like people we know for a long time, like yourself or media, yeah, we can make something happen for sure.
Awesome. Well, hope to see you at Electrify Expo, one of the many stopped, one or all of them, because I think it's, again, a great way to expose people, firsthand engagement. The world's open. The world's our oyster. And the future is plugging in, or the future is unplugged. So thank you again, Ben. Check them out, Unplug Performance, both on social media, on the website. Shout out to Randy Popst. Shout out to Casa Bonita. I'll be there at some point in time, and I'm going to do a cliff dive. It's going to be awesome.
Hell yeah. And thanks for everything you're doing, by the way. Electrify Expo is fantastic. And I think it's really important to have these venues to build this community. So I commend everyone who's, you know, in the arena doing these things to uplift. It's really important that these events happen. So awesome. Great work to the whole team.
Awesome. Thank you. Great testimonial there. All right. Unplug Performance. Send it. Thanks for listening to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.